If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome in to the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks rolled past the Nashville Predators 6-2. Here on a Friday night in Chicago, the last home game before the Four Nations break for the Blackhawks. Not a bad way to go out. Let's bring in Troy Murray, who's dancing to the Sweet Home Chicago. Well, it was Sweet Home Chicago. Now it changed, but it's happy music. It's happy music. The first home win since, I think it was January 18th against Vegas. The Hawks had been 0-1-3. In the previous four home games. So nice to see them back in the win column. A lot to like in this game if you're the Blackhawks, Troy.
But just check the boxes going down. I mean, they did everything that they needed to do in this game. They started off well. A good response by Nashville 20 seconds after the Blackhawks got on the board by Frank Nazar, but that didn't deter them. Solid effort all the way through. Defensive game was good. Goaltending was excellent. The forwards, I thought, did an excellent job defensively tracking back. And then they had a lot of speed in that game against Edmonton through the neutral zone and spent some good time in the offensive zone. Same thing that you saw here tonight. So good carryover from that game. They talked about they did a lot of things well in that game against Edmonton, and it just seemed like they just took it right into this one and never stopped.
Six players had multi-point efforts in this one. And it was led by Ryan Donato, who had two goals, two assists for 4 points, which is a new career high. It is hard to overstate or understate how great of a season that Ryan Donato has been having for Chicago this year.
Yeah, you look at him, he's, 30 years of age and, now has 18 goals on the season, which is the team lead now.
Yeah.
And, that's... I didn't have that penciled in at the beginning of the season. I know that. So, give him a lot of credit. And he's got such a great attitude. He's got a positive attitude that is infectious inside that room. And he works hard in the off season. He knows that he needs to each and every game play as hard as he can.
we have a fan wanting to take a picture of us. All right, you got it? We good? All right, love it. We just made her night.
There's nobody like
just,
our
just
neighbors
made,
up here
just
in
made
section
my night.
I don't know why she wanted one of me.
Well, she's going to be like, just, who is this? We just included you.
Yeah, I was just like, Charlie, stand.
Yeah.
She feels sorry for you.
Yeah. We brought John in, too. I think it was just... I'm kidding.
So before this game, Donato was on pace for 25 goals this season and 50 points. Like, he was on pace to hit the 50-point mark coming into this game. I mean, that is an incredible season for a guy that coming into this game, it was 16 goals as a career high and 31 points. I mean, he's almost going to double his point total if he finishes on this pace.
Yeah, you really look just... And again, it just goes back to his attitude and, He hasn't got the big contract, and every time a contract comes out, he's got to try and figure it out. And is this the right fit? Which team? Where can I go? But the way that he approaches the game, his mental side of the game is so impressive that whether he's in the lineup, whether he's out of the lineup, if he's out, he's working as hard as he can to get that next opportunity. And he works hard in the off season because he knows that he has to work harder than the average bear to play in the NHL, and doesn't take any day for granted, doesn't take any practice for granted. He's just a great teammate, and I'm so happy for him that he's having this kind of season. Really happy for him.
We mentioned there were a lot of scouts in attendance in this game, scouting the 30th and 31st ranked team. I mean, if they're watching Ryan Donato closely in this game, there's going to be a lot of positive reports on Donato. you know, it's going to be interesting. The trade deadline is a month from today, and Donato's stock is rising by the game, it feels like.
Well, there's no question that anybody who's looking at the Blackhawks to add a type of player that will help them in the playoffs, it's a guy like Ryan Donato. You can slot him up, you know, temporarily on the first line. He's a center. He's a winger. He can play fourth line. He's a grinder. He's a penalty killer. Takes face-offs. I mean, he basically does it all. And you know, if you're looking for a guy that can help you get that little extra step in the postseason, you know, a guy like Donato is just having one of those years that people are going to be knocking on Kyle Davidson's door, seeing what the Blackhawks are looking for him. And I'm sure that, you know, for Kyle Davidson, I don't know if you want to, you know, what they're thinking, but sure. Obviously the stock of Donato has risen significantly this season.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. He's a guy that he can essentially play all 12 forward positions on any of the four lines, and he can play all three forward positions as far as wing, left wing, right wing, center, first line, second line, third line, four. I mean, he feels like he's kind of a utility player, and so... Yeah, Donato, and he comes at a $2 million cap hit. So, I mean, it's a respectable number for Ryan Donato.
Yeah, and that he's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. And I guess maybe, you know, it's a good problem to deal with if you're Kyle Davidson and the Blackhawks. But, you know, I think that if you look at it and you say, well, you know, what's his value moving forward? And, you know, I don't mean to be, again, I say this a lot, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but a lot of times when you've got a guy who's 28 years of age, he's, you know, moving up towards that 30 level, and has a career year, it's hard to, in some ways, justify to pay for that career year. So you got to come to some kind of a balance here. If, you know, you want to sign Donato, because, you know, it is a career year. And is there a ceiling that's going to be above there? Well, he's not going to stop working, and he's always going to be that type of player. But, you know, he may not get back to this threshold again, because it is a career year. But at the same time, you know, teams are looking at, you know, some rentals, and Donato would be a perfect fit. As you mentioned, a cap hit of $2 million. At this point, it's prorated. You know, you're not going to have to pay a lot to put a guy like Donato into your lineup there, and certainly can help basically every team.
Yeah, and I'll also say this. You don't see this a lot, but there could be a scenario, too, where the Blackhawks end up capitalizing on his trade value
and bring him
move
back.
Him and then say, hey, we'll talk again on July 1st if you're willing to come back for a respectable deal.
Yeah, and, you know, for Donato, I think every player wants that opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. So if you ask, you know, Donato, does he like it here in Chicago? Absolutely. Would he like to come back? I would assume that he would. But at the same time, you could be in a position to chase the Stanley Cup. You could go to a contender. And, you know, if things fall in the right order, you might be able to bring him back in that situation. So interesting to see what happens here. And I think that the general managers heading into this Four Nations break, they're obviously going to be watching the tournament and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, those elite players that are all in this tournament, those guys aren't going to be moving a whole lot. But they take a deep breath, and they're all going to analyze what they have and what the prospect pool is and what they need to do. So this is going to be a really good opportunity for the organizations to get together, their managers, their scouts, the you know, assistant general managers, the coaching staff, and figure out what they want to do moving into the break, which is shortly after this Four Nation tournament.
How about the game that Frank Nazar had? Gets a goal, an assist, four shots on goal, which is tied for the team lead, and he had that unbelievable scoring chance after that stretch pass by Teuvo Teravainen. Between the minors and the NHL, Frank Nazar has probably had close to a double digits in shorthanded chances this season. I mean, he is a real threat with his speed.
He is, and you know, if you're sleeping on the power play, and I've talked about this so many times in the past, where, you know, the power play, it has to outwork the penalty kill to be successful. Loose pucks, puck retrieval, getting back into your own end of the ice, and the aggressive penalty killers. You know, and the Hawks have just played a few of them where they score a lot of shorthanded goals. Well, that's because they put pressure on it, and a lot of times you only have one defenseman out there. Nazar, with his speed, I think Mikheyev has done an excellent job. Teravainen has been playing lights out here as of late, and those guys all have a lot of speed, and they're all killing penalties. And you throw Nazar in there, you throw Slagard into there with his speed. You know, you got something here that's pretty dangerous as far as the penalty kill, and, you know, it may not show up this year, but if you're sleeping at any time, you can see what happens when you have the speed of those guys on the ice.
And these are the kinds of roles that I think Anders Sorensen, there was no Jason Dickinson in this game because of the high ankle sprain that he suffered on Wednesday. It's an opportunity for guys like Frank Nazar to take on a little bit more of that responsibility, whether it's getting being promoted from the second PK unit to the first PK unit or getting those shutdown matchups. And so I thought he handled it great in his first game without Jason Dickinson.
Yeah, and, you know, Dickinson's a big part of this team, and he's a big part of the leadership group inside the room. So you don't have that. That's a little bit of a void inside the room. It's a void on the ice, and somebody's going to have to step up and fill those minutes. And I thought everybody, you know, really, if you think who had an off game, I can't think of one. Who everybody contributed. You had all four lines playing out there, and you know, you what did Anders say? He called it by community.
Yeah.
Was that the word he was using? Community?
Yeah. Community, committee, and I think it was one of the two.
Committee, community.
I think he said committee at practice yesterday. He said community this morning. So he used both.
Yeah. That's why I'm confused.
And that's why I'm giving you the technical answer. I'm easily confused.
I thought he said
you
maybe.
And me both.
Yeah. That was a good game, though. Fun game, and it was a fun game against Edmonton. I think anybody who came down, the entertainment value was excellent in that game. You know, they get a power play in overtime. Tough break on a line change there, but those things happen. They were able to capitalize, but everybody, I think, went home saying, hey, boy, the Blackhawks played well. They worked hard against one of the top teams in the NHL, and tonight, boy, they came and they worked hard, and they were the better team. There was no question.
How about Landon Slagger getting in the face of Luke Shen there at the end of the second?
Loved it. Yeah, I mean, Luke Shen is a big dude, man. I mean, he can fight. He throws with both hands, left hand, right hand, and Slagger didn't hesitate. He was the guy that dropped the gloves and maybe surprised Shen a little bit at the beginning. You know, I don't think Shen would expect that Slagard would drop the mitts there. And you could see on the TV screen that the TV cameras, they had got into a close-up with the linesman and those two guys, and you could see that Shen was saying something to Slagard, and Slagard came out with a smile. And yeah, they got to have a lot of respect for Slagard, you know, initiating that fight against a guy who's much bigger, much stronger, and much more proficient in dropping the mitts and fighting it in the game of hockey.
Yeah, it definitely looked like a respectful exchange between Slagard and Shen, because I don't think Shen was expecting it, because Slagard was the one that dropped his gloves first.
Yeah, he initiated the whole thing there. I mean, you know, Shen rode him off into the boards kind of after the play. Slagard didn't like it, and he dropped the mitts quickly, and, you know, Shen got him off. And I give him a ton of credit for doing that, too, because, you know, hopefully he knows, Slagard does, who the tough guys are in the NHL and who you have to be aware of. But it just didn't seem in that instant that he cared one way or the other. He was just going to go at him.
We got one more game before the Four Nations break. A quick trip to St. Louis. And then we got, 2 weeks off? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you excited for this Four Nations tournament? I feel like I haven't been as excited, but I know once the games start, I'm going to be real invested.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I haven't, you know, put a lot of thought into it. It's not like the Olympics or something, and you're missing some significant countries in this mix of the greatest players in the game. But I think once you start playing, you know, and every game is going to matter. It's a quick tournament. You're playing a round robin, then you're getting right into it. You know, you don't have a whole lot of time. So, you know, you look at some of these teams that are built, and they're trying to find some consistency and some pairings like Makar and Taves from Colorado, rather than trying to throw these guys into a blender and see which guys are going to work. You don't have a lot of time, not much practice time as well. So you got to get right into these games. There's some combinations of line combinations that you've seen on the regular teams in the NHL. And
like Hagel and Cirelli too?
Cirelli, yeah. And I mean, it's going to be exciting to watch, and, you know, Sidney Crosby didn't play in the game tonight for Pittsburgh, and everybody's holding their breath because I, like most people, I want to see the best on the best against best. And when you've got, you know, a projected first line for Canada, you've got MacKinnon and Crosby, two of the best centermen in the game playing wing with Connor McDavid. I mean, my goodness, that is a stacked line. But, you know, the U.S. has got some great players with Matthews. I mean, it's going to be a good tournament. I'm excited. I'll be watching it.
Yeah. MacKinnon, McDavid, Crosby, even if they're not together long term because they might spread the wealth, I just want to see it for a game. Like how I don't know if the opponent is going to touch the puck.
Yeah, but sometimes you throw lines like that together and they don't work.
Yep.
You know, and then you have to try and find a different element. And, you know, a lot of the great teams always kept two guys together, Trotsky and Bossy, Gretzky and Curry. You know, you want to keep two guys together and then you kind of rotate a third guy in there. And it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a great showcase of the NHL.
All right. We'll send you off to St. Louis. Hopefully they don't.
Well, if you don't let me go sooner or later, I'm going to miss the flight.
Yeah, you go. I've been paying attention to the broadcast. I don't think Sorensen has talked yet, so you're good. But I will send you off. I was going to say, hopefully, I'll knock on wood here, that you guys don't hit travel troubles on the way, because I know what happened last year when you guys went to St. Louis.
Oh, we got fogged in.
You got fogged in. They had a bus home, and that was after a disastrous third period. I think Hawks were up 5-2, and they blew that lead, so.
Yeah, well, way to go, Charlie.
Yep, I know.
Way to jinx us.
Just throwing it out there. All right. Blackhawks take care of the Nashville Predators 6-2 at the United Center. We'll let Troy go now. I was going to try to hold him hostage as long as possible just to see if he could be the last one on the flight so everyone can boo him when he gets on. But
they will wait for almost everybody except the radio broadcast team.
In that case, all right, Troy, let's do a preview of the. All right, we got. I think we're getting some Blackhawks post game. So hopefully it'll be rolling in soon, and we'll play that on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Blackhawks post game show on 720 WGN.
Scrambling save made by Roman Josi, who had fallen down in front of his goaltender, Saros. Now Donato, a break from center over the Preds line, fires, he scores! Brian Donato! Two goals and two assists! The first 4-point night of his career! And the Hawks are having some fun now! They lead the Predators 6-1!
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show, what a night for Ryan Donato. 4 points with two goals and two assists. Also had 7 shot attempts. 4 of them hit the net, which was tied for a team lead. And he also won 6 of 8 faceoffs for a 75% win percentage. Awesome night for Ryan. He just spoke to the media. Let's hear what he had to say about this big 6-2 win over Nashville.
What worked for you tonight?
I don't know. I mean, I always say it's my faith. I pray a lot. Things have been great this year. A lot of good things. I have a new daughter at home. I think that's the key for me.
Did you come close to a 4th point before tonight again?
Can't remember, to be honest with you. So many games that blend in. I'm sure once or twice, but not many.
Seems like for a second game in a row, you and Bedard have something on the power play. What's going on there?
I mean, I give a lot of credit to him. I mean, he's so easy to play with. He's so easy to, you know, read as you get to know him. He can see everything. So he's going to have, obviously, that release that he has, and that scares teams. And, you know, if you get open, he's going to find you too.
Was that a no-look that you had on him or on that pass to him?
Not really. I mean, I saw where he was going, but I didn't want to, you know, let anybody see where I was going at the same time. But, I mean, I had to look a little bit, but he was kind of in the corner of my eye.
How have you continued to focus and play when you've got us asking you about the trade deadline every day and all this stuff? How have you managed to just kind of lock in?
I mean, I just try not to read into it, right? I always say, you know, we have the best jobs in the world, right? We're NHL hockey players, and, you know, it's nice to get to win and all that, but it's hard, obviously, not to focus on that sometimes. But, you know, I just know God has a plan for me and come to work every day and, you know, give it my all.
I know it's a business, but do you feel like you're a big part of building the culture here?
I hope so. I mean, I want to do the right things. be a mentor for some of the younger guys. And, you know, I know how hard it is, especially when, you know, you're not winning every night. And it's tough. But I think at the same time, you know, we have a lot of great leaders in this room, the guys that I look up to, too. And, you know, there's definitely a good group of guys in here.
Since you worked in your skating last summer, have you felt faster this year? That last goal seemed like maybe an example where you were able to create separation that maybe last year wouldn't have been doable for you.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I worked on my skating a ton this summer, and it was something that, you know, this league is, everybody can skate really well. You know, if you get 1% better, it's something, it makes a huge difference in your own game. And for me, that's something I worked on, and, you know, hopefully I can continue to try and, you know, get better at that and continue to reap benefits from it.
The third guy in your line, Landon Slager, what's he been like skating?
He's an animal. I mean, he's an awesome kid. Honestly, one of the nicest kids I've had the pleasure of meeting, especially as a guy that's, you know, young. And, you know, he brings a fresh energy every day. He's happy. He's go-lucky. He's, you know, I think I've heard people describe him as a dog on a bone, and that's true. I mean, he doesn't care. He's going to work as hard as he possibly can, and he wants to learn, too, and those are the type of guys you want in your locker room.
Maybe don't fight Luke Shen for your first one.
Yeah. I don't think he had any idea what he was doing. You know, I think he just, you know, he got excited. You know, when the adrenaline gets you, you know, stuff happens. I think afterwards he was like, oh boy. But you know, he did a great job holding his own, and, you know, did a good job of protecting himself after, and, you know, that definitely gave us a spark for the rest of the game.
Thanks.
That was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato, dog on a bone for Landon Slaggart, and didn't know what he was doing when the adrenaline hits and fighting Luke Shen. I think even Luke Shen was surprised when he saw Landon drop the gloves immediately. Like, are you sure you want to do this, kid? But, man, credit to Slaggart. He has been as advertised in these first few games since being called up by the Blackhawks. Honestly, I would be shocked if he saw the minors this year. Like, it feels like he is here to stay, and he has been he's just been awesome for the Blackhawks so far this season. Frank Nazar, you're mentioning his game too. I mean, a goal, an assist, 4 shots on goal, 5 shot attempts. He had that shorthanded breakaway chance. It was like the millionth breakaway chance that he's gotten this season between the minors and the NHL. He spoke to the media as well after this win. Let's listen in.
I mean, you had a nice breakaway in the penalty kill tonight, but I think a couple of folks have talked to you about how much they used you in that regard. How much pride do you take in the defensive side of the ice?
I say I love it. It's something that kind of came just like as I've been getting older and going up and you know, age groups and levels. And, you know, everybody sees it more like extremely defensive, like only get the puck out, get off the ice. But it's also like they're putting their 5 best offensive players out there. And, you know, if you get a chance like that and you're out there with a guy who can make a pass like Table, and you know, you look for those opportunities to take off. But obviously, like I was saying, defense comes first. But it's always nice to look for those chances.
You look around this team and you see these, you know, this guy's like you and Slag, and all of a sudden there's all this speed injection in the lineup. What does that do for a team to have guys that can move like that?
Definitely helps a lot. Just, I mean, being able to get in on the forecheck and tie your teams out, and I mean, that's the goal at the end of the day. You know, it's you're not gonna win the game right off the hop. You know, you gotta tear them out, get them going, and you know, keep the momentum moving. And that's kind of how, you know, things are forming here, and hopefully keep moving forward like that.
Donato is such a kind of relentless attacking style. How good of a role model is that for some of you young guys? Like, how to just keep attacking all the time?
Yeah, he's great. And just being able to talk to him about, like, what he's thinking. He's super open, super nice about everything. And, like you were saying, like, he works his tail off, and he's always going. So just being able to see that competitive side pay off and how that works at this level is really awesome.
What kind of influence does that have on the locker room?
It definitely helps. I mean, look at today. It's see a lot of guys smiling, walking out of here, and just walking around. A lot of guys are in a better mood and more happy. And that's what happens when, you know, we go out there, you put up a lot of goals in a game, and it all starts from that, from Donald's play, from Slags fighting, you know, from other guys making big plays, and kind of just feed off each other.
How important does tomorrow become to go into that break feeling good about things?
It's definitely huge. I think another big thing is just, like, they got us last time we played them, you know, and we want to come in tomorrow and, you know, get them back. So it's not going to be easy, but just got to do our best to prepare and just be ready for it.
Thank you.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Frank Nazar. He was one of 6 players on the Blackhawks in this game to record a multi-point effort. One of the others with Seth Jones, who had a goal and an assist for 2 points. He also had 5 shot attempts and 3 shots on goal. Also had 2 hits, 2 takeaways, and 4 blocked shots. So this is one of the better games for Jones as well. Only logged 21 minutes and 54 seconds of ice time, probably because the Hawks were able to really divide the wealth in this game as far as ice time goes, and they didn't really have to lean so heavily on their top guys. It was just kind of next lineup mentality. Hawks obviously pulled away in the second period with a 5-1 lead, and so they were able to kind of manage the minutes easier in the third period. Let's hear what Seth Jones had to say about this 6-2 win over the Predators, his former team.
Anders was saying earlier today that he wanted you guys to build off your game against the Oilers. You did a lot of good things and everything, and how much of a statement you guys felt you made tonight with the all-around game?
Yeah, I thought we played a pretty good game. We limited our turnovers, and you know, we put ourselves in good spots down low to forecheck and make them turn pucks over and then create chances off that. I thought all 4 lines tonight did a good job of that, and it makes the game easier for us, you know, all around. It makes it easier for Peter, and it's more fun to play in the offensive zone, obviously.
Not a bad night for Donato.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. He's hotter than burnt toast. That's what you're saying in the mission. He's awesome right now. He's working hard. He always has that work ethic, and that's where his game really stems from, and he gets rewarded because of the work he puts in day in and day out during the season. It shows, and I'm happy. We're all happy for him.
That last part, how much of a good example is he for some of you? You got a lot of young forwards on this, about how you work hard every shift, eventually you get the type of rewards he gets.
Yeah, I think it's the little things you do away from the puck, you know, and the hockey gods. You know, a lot of hockey players believe in the hockey guys. Do the right thing. You put the work in, and good things will come back to you. So that's what he does, and I think it's great that, you know, some of our young guys can take a page out of his book.
How valuable has he been as just kind of Swiss Army knife for you guys, up and down the lineup, mm-hmm. special teams, et cetera?
Yeah, you can really put him anywhere. He's got the work ethic to be on the fourth line and the skill set and the shot to be on, you know, one of your top 6 forwards. So he's been very versatile for us. He's been great on the power play. You know, we put him in that face-off position, and he wins a lot of my back for us. And I think that, you know, gives our power play a lot of success, a lot of confidence. And so he's been great all over the ice.
It's that time of year where, you know, we're getting close to the trade deadline, and mm-hmm. he's a pending UFA. Does that come up? Do you guys talk about that? Is it something you think about?
Not really. I mean, we're going out there playing. We're focusing on what we can do every day to get better as a team. And, you know, we understand it's a business. Things happen out of our control. But we want to build a, you know, camaraderie as a team, you know, in the locker room here, and transfer that to the ice every night.
What worked for the power play tonight? Seemed like there was a lot of C passes.
Yeah, just quick puck movement. We knew they were ultra aggressive. You know, they're kind of like a Carolina or someone like that, or a Florida, just in your face the whole time. So we knew puck movement was going to be very important, and I thought we moved it quick. Our entries were good, and now we got some pucks to the net.
That Bedard line's getting Dickinson's in the matchups in a lot of cases these last 2 games against 2 really good lines. How do you think he's done?
He did a great job. Yeah, O'Reilly is no easy feat. Forsberg and those guys, I thought he did a good job in his own end for the most part. And you know, when we get power plays, he gets that open ice. You just see the skill take over. So I know he's focusing on, you know, the other aspects of his game, but he wants to be dominant every night. And I thought he did a good job tonight.
With no Dickinson on the penalty kill, you had some young guys like Frank step up. How impressive is it that they can step in on the defensive special teams, make an impact like that?
100%. You know, especially a guy like Frankie, his speed alone puts a lot of guys on their heels. You know, you saw his great pass by Turbo, but he's got breakaway speed every shift. You know, he's diving for pucks a lot of the time. He's forechecking. So I think we haven't had a lot of speed in our lineup, you know, the last couple of years, so it's great to have him. You know, you notice it when he's out there. You know, it's the speed he brings and the intensity he brings. So I thought he did a great job in those positions.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Seth Jones. Hotter than burnt toast. That sums up Ryan Donato's last few games, probably even the season, perfectly for the Blackhawks. Donato is the number one star of this hockey game, to no one's surprise.
Back to Forsberg in the right wing corner. To the line, Brady Shea. Rolling through the deep slot, he'll drop it off to Stamkos, then to Forsberg, right circle, he fires. Glove save made by Mrazek with authority. He'll hold on to it there. Whistle-stopping play. Peter almost defiantly showing the Predators the puck as if to say, you're not putting that one by me.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. One of 29 saves for Peter Mrazek on this night for a save percentage of 936. Great bounce back for Peter Mrazek. He's been decent the last couple starts, but Arvid Soderblom had kind of taken the net, had started in 4 of 6 games prior to this game. UC Saros, his counterpart, gave up 6 goals on 30 shots. If you look at Saros' career record against the Blackhawks, I don't have it in front of me. I lost the sheet of paper that I was trying to find during the commercial break. But Saros has been excellent against Chicago. I think he has like above a 930 save percentage against the Blackhawks. So this is a rare off game against Chicago. We typically plays well against. But again, really nice overall effort by Chicago in this 6-2 win. And I imagine Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen is also going to be pleased with this effort. So let's hear what he had to say to the media.
You said this morning that you wanted these guys to build off of what they did against the Oilers. Is that a pretty good build?
Yeah. I thought we did a lot of good things. You know, a lot of good hockey plays, right?
How would you, I guess, analyze the team game and what worked offensively especially?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, offensively we did a lot of good things in terms of hanging on the pucks, and obviously I thought the power play there was got buzzing early there, and that helped a lot. But yeah, I just thought we were really good offensively in terms of like getting more zone time. It's something we've talked about, obviously. And then I thought we defended real well, and that gave us opportunities to play on the offensive side of it as well.
What do you think of Ryan Donato's night?
I liked it.
The stuff he does like rub off on like the rest of the team, just in like the relentlessness, the attention to detail, all the stuff he does for you guys?
Yeah, I think we talked about this before, right? He's very invested emotionally. He's very invested to what we're trying to accomplish, and to your point, to the details and the habits, and he's talking to the young guys, and he's a good voice on the bench as well, you know. And yeah, he's been really good. And I mean, him and Connor has found some chemistry here, right?
It's 2 straight games that that line has been gone up against powerhouse lines against Edmonton and here. What's been the thought process behind that, and how do you think that Connor in particular has done?
We challenged Connor. He wanted the challenge. He wanted to play against those guys. So I think it's great, and it's something, you know, that part of the learning curve. And, you know, and when you're the top number one center, you're going to play against other teams' number one centers. And I thought it was great.
Did he come to you, or did you go to him for that?
Oh, we talked about it. Yeah.
When you have a guy like Donato, I mean, he obviously would attract people around the trade deadline. But what does he mean to, like, your culture building, a guy like that?
Yeah, it's a huge piece of it, right? And, again, like, helping the younger guys, but also setting an example to be a good pro every day. He's usually one of the first guys at the rink, and he takes care of himself, and he's very detailed in terms of how he prepares himself, but also within our team as a group, he asks questions and he kind of relays messages on the bench and in the locker room as well.
Seemed like the fourth line had a good night too. What clicked for them?
Yeah, they've been good. You know, I know earlier in the year too, they were really good, right? They like playing with each other. They complement each other well, and yeah, it was good to see Patty get the score. He's had a lot of chances here, but it was really nice to see him put one in, but really good effort.
Seems like it's just a matter of time before Nazar gets one shorthanded. What? And he doesn't give up anything defensively either. Like, why is he doing so well on the PK?
Fast skater, smart player. You know, he pays attention to little things that are important on the PK, and that's a big part of it. He can really put pressure down ice on players, and I think he catches some teams and players by surprise.
You like seeing Slaggart go after a guy like Luke Shen?
I thought it was awesome. I don't probably didn't know who he was, but I thought he hung in there. You know, it's pretty impressive.
How do you see Slaggart complement what Donato and Bedard have been able to do together?
Yeah, he is a really good complement because he does a lot of things away from the puck to kind of create room for those guys. If it's on the forecheck, turn pucks over. If it's first guy coming back and helping out, his habits are really, really good, right? And I think that helps those two guys. And he makes plays, too. I think he's a lot, to me, he's a lot like Brandon Hagel, you know, in a lot of way. You know, when you watch him play, it's the same mentality, constantly on the puck, and it just the effort's there all the time.
That was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen talking about Landon Slager. Boy, feels like any time Landon Slager's name comes up, Brandon Hagel's name immediately follows. I know, you know, when Troy Murray is talking about him, that's the name that he thinks of, and it's honestly true. Like, it's hard not to think of the comparison. Both speedy type players, in your face, grindy, have an underrated offensive skill set, gets in your face. Like, even the game against Edmonton on Wednesday, Landon Slager, the first period specifically, he was so good against Connor McDavid's line, just being totally up in his face. And so he's been so good for Chicago this season. The other thing I wanted to point out too is Sorensen talking about giving Connor Bedard, his line, the responsibility of going up against the other team's top line. When Edmonton was here two nights ago, it was Jason Dickinson's line going up against Leon Draisaitl, and Sorensen intentionally wanted to match Bedard's line with Connor McDavid. And prior to that game, McDavid and Draisaitl had been separated, and I think Chris Knobloch, after the game, Edmonton Oilers head coach, had said they had so much respect for Dickinson that they had to separate McDavid and Draisaitl because they didn't want Dickinson's line to be out there for both. But I thought it was noteworthy that Sorensen liked the matchup, or not liked, but he wanted to challenge Bedard's line up against McDavid, and they held that line to 0 points in regulation. And I think McDavid also had zero shots on goal through the first 40 minutes of that game, and he finished with two. But that was excellent. And then in this game, the Bedard line went up against the Forsberg, Stamkos, and Marchessault line, where Nashville loads up with their top line as well. Weirdly, three right-handed shots all on the same line, and I thought they did well. Like, obviously Connor Bedard finds the back of the net. On the power play, picks up an assist, has three shots on goal. There was also a play that he had later in the first period, that his signature backhand forehand move, I think it was Nick Blankenberg that he had, and UC Saros made the save, like, almost by default, because like, his body was there. Like, I don't think he was expecting that quality of a shot so quickly. And so I thought it was a really strong game for Connor Bedard, especially given all the kind of the outside noise that had been leading into this game over the last 48 hours with, you know, some of the criticism that he's been receiving from the national TV analysts. I think some of it is fair, but I also think as time has gone on, it just became overblown, because I don't really think it's a major concern of Bedard's game. I think he cares so much about this Blackhawks team, and the fact that they're sitting where they are in the standings, I don't think he's happy about that. And you can see how much he cares and wants to elevate this Blackhawks group, that sometimes he just tries to make plays. And I just don't think it's going to be a concern in the long term, because if you're Chicago, the goal would be to surround himself, surround Connor with a stronger supporting cast in the coming years, so that he does not feel like he has to take all of the weight on himself, and he can just focus on playing his game and doing what he does best. And also, you don't want to coach that creativity out of him. You want him to make plays, because he is legitimately one of the best players in the NHL in as far as zone entries go. So like, you don't want to take some of that some of what makes him great out of him, and he's going to figure that out over the next few years. And also, credit to Connor Bedard, because at practice yesterday, he was the very first one on the ice, and so you knew that he maybe wasn't paying attention to the criticism, but I think he definitely wasn't pleased with how he played, even though he did have several grade A scoring chances in that Oilers game early on in the first period that maybe could have changed it for him and the team. But yeah, I don't have any concerns about Bedard. 19-year-old kid, he has been, you know, feels like every game I'm looking up, like, Connor Bedard with another couple points, and it's like only Sidney Crosby has hit the whatever 100 point mark as a teenager faster in the last 20 years. So it's like this kid is going to be fine. And so I really liked his quote-unquote bounce-back performance in this game against Nashville, multi-point effort, and hopefully for his sake, he can carry it over into the next game against St. Louis and finish things off on a high note before the team enters the Four Nations international break. Speaking of breaks, we got one more to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show with a preview of the St. Louis Blues game tomorrow. That's right after this.
Off of Thomas and to Bolduc. Around to the far point. Fowler finding Thomas. Quick pressure from the Panthers. They're giving Thomas no room. He gets it back. Passes near wing. He scores! With Sundquist in front, that puck deflected on the Thomas shot. A power play goal for the St. Louis Blues to tie the game. 2-2. Sundquist drew the penalty. Sundquist with the goal. 14:42 to go, period number two.
Back here at the United Center, leading us right into our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The St. Louis Blues may have tied that game up at 2-2, but they went on to lose to the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers 3-2. It's been a tough seven games for St. Louis, just one win over that stretch. They are 1-5-1, and this is going to be the first time that the Blackhawks are facing the Blues since the Winter Classic, where, quite frankly, it was an embarrassment for Chicago, and that was as strong of comments as I've seen or I've heard come out of the Blackhawks locker room. They were not happy about what happened on December 31st at Wrigley Field. It was a 6-2 loss, and let's see if the Blackhawks can get a better taste in their mouth in that game. Speaking of the Winter Classic, I believe both teams will be wearing their Winter Classic jerseys in this hockey game. So they're bringing it back. I think the Hawks are also announced two more dates that they are going to wear them. One of them is February 23rd here at home against Toronto, which is going to be the next home game coming out of the break. And then there's one other one, I think, in March. And so we'll get to see those beautiful Blackhawks uniforms as well. The discrepancy between the uniforms of the Blackhawks and Blues at the Winter Classic was night and day. Probably one of the best ones, the best sweaters for Chicago. Like I mentioned, the Hawks are going to, this is going to be the last game before their Four Nations break. Hawks are going to get a week and a half off after that. I know Teuvo Teravainen is going to be playing in the Four Nations tournament. He's the lone Blackhawks representative in it. So I imagine for him, he's going to rejoin the team later on before the Hawks get back in action. But we got one more game, Blackhawks at St. Louis. Let's see if they can finish off the de facto first half of the season on a positive note and carry the momentum that they had in this game, particularly the goals, into St. Louis tomorrow at Enterprise Center at 6 p.m. Central. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circus Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Colin McCarthy. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our fearless colonel Brett Jackson back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 6-2 Blackhawks win over the Nashville Predators. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com. And through your smartphone with the WGN app.